Barrage, it's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
We're in the same place that we were, I guess, schedule-wise, JJ, when it comes to the NHL. But the good thing is we've got two guests coming on with us that are going to make it a whole lot more interesting on the podcast today.
Oh, thank goodness for Oli Kolzik and Byron Defoe. Thank goodness we got Byron on eventually, because there were some technical difficulties at first. But, you know, goalie fights are always worth talking about. So it was good to dip into that while we're still waiting to figure out when next season's going to start.
We relive the anniversary 22 years ago, Kolzig and Defoe, their fight. That's coming up next on the Caps Talk podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
JJ, it's funny you mention it because, like, the Zoom difficulty we had to get them on, usually Zoom's easy. And I can just say this, it took about 25 minutes just for us to get Byron on. And thankfully, I guess he is tech savvy because he was able to make it work. But the good thing is the interview we're about to play between Kolzig and Defoe, and what I guess it's just been a few days, depending on when you're listening to this, just a few days past the 22 year anniversary of their, not only just their fight, but it was like everybody on the ice between these two, which was amazing. And by the way, you can go back and listen and watch the video of the old HTS call with Joby and Locker, who just nailed it the entire time. It's like 6 minutes, and it was early on in this game. And I've watched it so many times that it was worth going back and watching every single time.
Yeah, I've watched it a bunch in preparation. You know, you like to do your homework before these interviews. So I watched it a few times. You know, when two goalies drop the gloves, it's a fight. But in the grand scheme of things, fight might be a bit of a stretch. Still fun to watch, but, you know, neither of those guys would be lining up against, like, a Patrick Waugh or anything like that. It pales in comparison to the old Colorado-Detroit goalie fights that we saw, where those guys were not best friends, and those guys were going at each other. This one, fun a little bit. You could see them smiling a little bit. They knew that they had their buddies locked up, and it was still fun to watch, though.
And it's funny you mention that, because they don't call it a fight. They call it something different, but we'll let them tell you exactly what that is now. Kolzig and Defoe join us now, and if I could give the details on how long it took for this conversation to actually happen and the technology issues we have, that would be an entire podcast. In fact, I think it was the length of the entire podcast. But that aside, you know, when I was told that you guys were going to be coming together on this and we were going to talk about that 22-year anniversary of that fight you had, I think I've watched it 5 or 6 times. Not that I hadn't seen it before, but that's the beauty of YouTube. You go back and watch it. The chaos that ensued in that. I'm watching Dale Hunter fight like 10 guys, and then Byron, you're getting into it with Hunter, and then it's like, it felt like a pro wrestling moment where here comes Kolzig up the ice.
He's in a different weight class, yeah, to say the least. Hunter going back for more. Byron Defoe getting in the way. Look at this.
Here comes Oli Kolzig. And it's going to be his buddy. He's going to have to grab somebody. He'll grab Boulanger. They're both big. And
would this be a great scrap?
Oh, Kolzig is tough.
But he's got arm pads on, and that makes it real tough.
You guys end up fighting each other. When you go back and think of that fight, I think the biggest question that we need to ask first is, who actually won it?
Well, I think I'll answer that first, Oli, if you don't mind.
I thought you'd have the props with you.
First of all, yeah, it was crazy, like you said, and the one thing that it struck me is when I realized I'm behind the net grabbing Dale Hunter, you know, I don't think I could have picked a tougher guy to be with on the ice, so I got out of that pretty quick. Oli came down the ice, and I think he grabbed Ken Boulanger, who's a pretty tough cookie himself, and, you know, obviously the crowd wanted to see two goalies get together, so somehow we got hooked up, and you know, I mean, I've got a picture hanging on my wall with Ole's jersey over his head and my hand cocked ready to go. So I don't know who won, but, you know, I've got pictures.
First of all, hold on. First of all, Ole in the fight is probably giving a little too much credit. We like to call it the dance. So if you play that piece with Garth Brooks, The Dance, I think it'll a lot more, more reality to it. It was a strange thing. I mean, the game, we weren't playing well. The game started getting out of hand. And, you know, once Dale Hunter and Craig Berube and Mark Tenorti came on the ice, you pretty much knew what was going to happen. And, you know, I think Craig went after Don Sweeney. And then, unfortunately, Hunts got stuck with Ken Belanger, and I felt like I needed to go help our captain out. And, you know, next thing I know, I got this little bat hanging off my back. And I was trying to spot it, and I just couldn't reach around to get him. But anyway, it was a weird deal because we were both best men at each other's weddings, and, you know, we're godparents to each other's sons, and it was just a weird deal. But knowing how he reacted after the fact and we went back to that, I think I probably would have threw a few.
Well, you did take his mask off, so it looked like you were getting ready to. You can see in the fight, you two are chirping each other. What were you two saying to each other during the dance?
Well, it is funny, and Ole mentions the kids, and you know, I've got an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old now, and both boys, and they love watching the video and seeing Uncle Ole, and you know, if you do watch closely, you do see a point where we are trying not to laugh, and you know, I think everyone in the building thought something was really going to come out of this, and not a chance. I mean, the one thing I do recall, though, Ole, you can back me on this, is when I did have the jersey over your head, I heard you clear as day say, "Bizey, don't F and do it or I'll kill you." And I know that for a fact you said that.
And I agree.
I did take heed of that because you did have 4 or 5 inches and 40, 50 pounds on me.
You need the 40, 50 pounds. I didn't have 4 inches on you. The thing I remember the most, we were smiling. And we were right by their bench. And we were just kind of tussling a little bit. And I don't remember who said it, but somebody on that bench said, "Will you two bleeps stop smiling and start throwing them?"
That's right.
I think you got a little bit of an adrenaline surge. And then that's when you pulled the jersey over my head.
Now, I think a lot of people don't realize this, but you guys were both drafted in the Capsule organization at the same time, right?
Yeah, same year. Yeah. And the funny thing is we hated each other at the time. We played junior hockey.
Yeah.
And he was playing in Portland. I was playing in Tri-Cities. And I think with playoffs, I think we ended up playing 22 times in one season. And I always thought he was an arrogant little bastard. And we were both highly touted, and it was kind of up in the air who was going to go one, who was going to go two. And, you know, we both interviewed with Washington, and they liked us both. And obviously, I mean, I went first for whatever reason, but he was still available when they picked him again in the second round. And so it was a no brainer for them to pick both of us. And, you know, then it wasn't long after that we became best of friends.
I love Ole. Ole told me the story when we were in Minnesota in the old Met Center. That's where we got drafted. And so he went first round and was going down, got his jersey, went down to meet the table of the coaches and the brass and what have you. And meanwhile, you know, he's talking and stuff, and it had come to the second round, and, you know, here in the Washington Capitals select, and he heard Byron Defoe, and I remember he said, he goes, "I did a double take." He's like, "What? You just got your goalie. What are you doing?"
It was probably a little bit more, a little more profanity than that, but yeah, I'm like, "What the?" You know, so, but no, it was cool. It was, like I said, we ended up going, it was the first year the NHL went to Russia for training camp. And I think you and I were the only two rookies that went. And so we kind of started hanging out. And like I said, we became best of friends. I remember that trip because deep down inside, I was actually smiling a little bit. The first practice we had, we flew all night to Sweden. And the coaches, I remember saying, okay, don't go to sleep. Stay up, you know, we got practice at 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever it is. And so we all went into our room and checked in and ended up going to the rink to practice. And lo and behold, who didn't show up? Byron and his roommate. They somehow fell asleep and were late coming to the rink. And, you know, I had a little bit of a chuckle inside thinking I had a little bit of a leg up on him at that point.
Let me elaborate on that story, though. And so that was the year after the Caps they went a ways, and it was John Drews. Remember, he scored like 21 goals in the one playoff run. So Drewsy was my roommate for the Russia trip. And yeah, exactly. He said, don't go to sleep. You know, we, of course, it felt like, you know, 2 a.m. to us. Meanwhile, it was 1 p.m. in Russia. And so we just said, oh, let's just, you know, just lie back for a little bit and watch a little TV. Well, both of us fell asleep, never put a wake up call in. And we get woken up by Sluggo, the trainer, and he's like, where the beep are you guys? We're going on the ice right now. And, of course, I'm just crapping in my pants. You know, this is my first real introduction to the Washington Capitals. Brian Murray was the coach. And I remember we just took a cab. We rushed to the rink, got dressed so quick, jumped on the ice in the middle of practice. I skated right over to Brian Murray. He just looks at me and goes, well, I'm not going to say what he said, but he said, just go get in the net. And so that's how it started, but it got better after that.
So what's the relationship like for goalies in the NHL? Because you work so closely together, but you're also sort of competing against each other. And now, especially, you know, the Capitals are in a situation where they want these two guys to work together, but Henrik Lundqvist has come out and said that he wants to be the starter. So what's it like developing those relationships while also competing against each other?
I think I've always gotten along with my partners. It's, you know, it's the only guy on the team that really can relate to you. And yes, you're competing for that job, but at the end of the day, it's coach's decision. And what you do, you just try to do what you can to, you know, persuade the coach that, you know, that you're the guy. And if for whatever reason you get outplayed and you just try to work harder in practice. I never really held a grudge against my partner. I mean, there was one guy, and I won't mention the name, but, you know, where I felt like he was taking things for granted, you know what I mean? Like, wasn't working quite as hard as he should be. And, you know, as a result, as time went on, he kind of found his way out of the league. But I always, always looked at it as it was a great competition. But at the same time, you're kind of each other's support because nobody else really can relate to you on the team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, at the NHL level, it's obviously a very professional relationship and a professional level. But the amount of money involved, the livelihood is obviously at a different level. Ole and I, sure, we were competing for the Washington Capitals, but most of our tenure together was, you know, in the minors or, like, passing each other on BWI as he was getting called up or I was getting sent down, whatever it was. So, you know, when we did play together as competition, you know, it was in with the Baltimore Skipjacks, it was with Portland Pirates where we won a Calder Cup. And, you know, like we had a lot of fun together and, you know, we'd rip each other on the ice during practice all the time. And it was actually, I think it was like you and I had one of the best tandem relationships there were because neither of us ever got pulled. So if I wasn't starting, I took the day off, literally. You know, I was not mentally prepared whatsoever. And I'm talking the minors here. And, you know, I know Ole did the same. And so, you know, it was just a lot of fun. And probably my best experience with Ole was when he was actually down with the Portland Pirates at the end of the season. And I was up backing up, I think it was Don Beaupre, I can't remember, with the Caps. And yeah. We lost out in the playoffs.
Right. Jim Carrey wasn't there yet, that's right.
Yeah, we lost out to the Rangers maybe in the playoffs. And Ole was on a credible tear with the Pirates at the time. And I remember Jack Button coming up to me and saying, you know, you don't have to go down, but, you know, if you want, it's going to be a great experience. You know, Ole's obviously going to play, but, you know, do you want to go down and be part of the cup run? And I was like, for sure. So I went down, and it was just, you know, I think we got two more rounds in. Ole had an unbelievable run, and, you know, for it, I had a great experience, and I got a ring on my finger. So it was really, you know, we've had a lot of fun together, and it's been really good relationship between us.
One of the best stories I have about Byron and myself was the 1 year we had a player strike, and I think it had something to do with trading cards or something like that. But it was right before the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Byron was going to be the black ace for the Caps, and I was, you know, I was just going home for the summer at that point. But before that took place, one of the team doctors in Baltimore invited us to his. He had a condo in Breckenridge, and, you know, we got to go through Denver to get home anyway. So he asked if we wanted to come in, you know, the end of the season, go skiing with him and his family. And we said, oh, yeah, for sure. And then the strike happened, and we thought, okay, for sure we can go because there's going to be no hockey. You know, Byron doesn't have to wear black A. So I remember we hung around Piney Orchard for most of the day, and someone from management came in and said, okay, you guys can leave. It looks like it's not going to be straightened out anytime soon. So we both hopped in our cars and drove 24 hours straight, I think it was, right to Breckenridge. And
yeah.
So we ended up getting there at 5 in the afternoon the next day. And both check in, we're in the condo, take a shower. Byron goes in the shower. While he's in the shower, the phone rings, and I think it was Pat Mann, who happened to be David Boyle's assistant, and asked if Byron was there. I said, well, he's in the shower. Do you want me just to have him call you back? He says, yes, please. So he gets out of the shower, gets on the phone while the strike got resolved. So Byron had to take, I don't know, first thing in the morning, you had to take a car service back to the airport in Denver and then turn around and fly back for 4 hours. So we drove out 24 hours. He was in Breckenridge for maybe 2 hours and then had to turn around and end up being a black ace. But I think you guys went second or third round that year, didn't you?
We did, because I remember when we finally lost out, I flew back to Denver and took another car service to Breckenridge and grabbed my car. It was like just covered in dust and it looked like crap. But yeah, no, that was a good story.
Yeah.
When did this all kind of change for you? Because you talk about when you're, you know, your rivals beforehand, and then you're drafted the same organization at the same time. So obviously your first thought is, you know, competitive, but it seems like it evolved very quickly into a friendship while you guys were, I guess, honestly, still competing against each other at the same time.
Well, I mean, Russia was the big one, right? Because that was where Sweden and Russia, where 3 weeks, I think we were over there. And that was basically the first we had, you know, actually hung out. And we're the two young bucks on the team because it was the original team that went with no other draft picks or minor league guys. So, you know, we naturally just started hanging out together and you know, it just became really, really good friends. I mean, we had common interests and it is odd because it is such a individual position and the competition is extreme compared to other positions in hockey. But, you know, I actually remember my first year pro, it was Ole's second year, and we were both playing for the Skipjacks, and Ole, myself, and Reginald Savage, we all lived together in an apartment. And I remember Barry Trotz coming up to me one day going, are you sure you want to live with Ole? Like, I mean, you know, you guys are battling for a job and trying to make the Caps, you know? And I was like, why not? Like, you know, it's not like we're sabotaging each other's food. Like, hey, Ole, I'll make the chicken tonight and, you know, half cook it for him, you know?
So if we could fast forward it to today and the current situation, I know there's one thing that everybody's talking about and we wanted to get your thoughts on what's going on. Obviously, I'm talking about the reverse retro jerseys. What are your thoughts on the on the red Screaming Eagle?
I mean, I like it. I think it's a combination of, you know, the history of the organization. You know, at the time, back in the 90s when they wanted to make that switch from the red, white, and blue and the iconic Caps logo to the to what I think is called the postage stamp now, but you know, at the time we thought it was pretty cool. I mean, it was something different. It was cutting edge, the design of the jersey, you know, being one of the first guys to wear that. I mean, it was just something neat, but I think once we went back to the old look, I think you really get to appreciate the old Caps logo and, you know, and why weren't we just red, white, and blue the whole time? I think it's when we did the black third jersey with the Capitol building that I thought, okay, maybe now we're just going a little too far. I like the concept of the Capitol building, but what does black, bronze, and white have to do with the nation's capital? And so, you know, at that point I was like, I think we're kind of stretching it now, but the new one, because I think every team had to do a retro jersey. I think as far as compared to a lot of the teams, I think we did a pretty good job with it. Like I said, it kind of combines the history of the whole organization.
You guys obviously are former players now, but you were players at some point, and we're going through a weird time in sports, especially with the NHL, where they're trying to figure out when they're going to restart. We hope it's January 1st, but there's obviously, it's a business, and it's the whole financial thing that gets thrown in there that people may hate, but it is kind of reality, where the league has talked about changing some things in the CBA, and players are like, wait, we just did this a little while ago. Like, if you were a player now, how do you think you would just feel about this situation and the way it's gone?
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, we're just in uncharted territory, right? I mean, with COVID and everything that's happened in the last 8 months, it's, the way the Stanley Cup Finals were played this summer, it's just no one's seen or even dreamt of anything like this. And as a player and as a, an employee, you're obligated to do certain things as per your contract. And you know, I think really it's everyone's just trying to make the most of it and do the right thing. But the problem is, I don't think anybody really knows what the right thing is. I mean, you see some of these football games that college football has, 20, 30,000 people in there, and some are wearing masks, some aren't. You know, is that right? Is it wrong? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And then you see other buildings that are completely empty, so there's no gate revenue. Are the owners actually losing money for it? Like, it's now it's such a business. Yet there's also the humanity aspect of it, obviously. You know, people are dying from this outbreak, so you have to take it into consideration. And I just, I feel for the players because it's trivial, but, just even the training and the mentally staying ready, like, there's just no time clock on this thing. It's like an extended lockout that just seems to keep going on and on.
Yeah. Going to be a brand new goalie tandem in Washington this year. What are our thoughts on Samsonov and Lundqvist together?
I think, I was sad to see Holtz go. Especially what he's done for the organization, and I understand it's a money deal, and that is at the crappy side of things. It's the realistic side of pro sports, because, you do lose a great person in Braden. Having said that, I mean, you get a guy of Henrik's stature and ability and what he's done in the NHL, and then you look at it basically what you ended up getting him for, and it almost seems like a no-brainer. I think Sammy has the ability to be like Vasilevsky. With the shortened season last year, and then obviously he wasn't healthy when the playoffs started, there's still a little bit of a question mark. But not a question mark, but lack of experience with him. And so you need that veteran guy there to, A, help guide him along, but, B, obviously step in when he's still a young guy and he's going to have some rough patches. So you need that veteran guy that's going to be able to get in there and do the job, because we are still a competitive team that still have aspirations of winning another Stanley Cup. And you don't want to sacrifice that with having like the growth of a young goaltender. So I thought for what we got Hank for, what he brings to the table, I think I thought it was a no-brainer for our organization.
Well, guys, this was great. Really appreciate the time, especially just reliving the dance. It's clear it's something you guys will, always remember. The great stories. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Bye. Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. A lot of fun.
Thanks again to Ole and Byron. That was, I think, JJ, everything we expected, which was cool. I mean, the stories they're able to tell. I honestly, I would have gone for like another hour for that with them and just like sat back and listened to the stories. But it's just so funny to think of, like, you get drafted in the same organization. It's funny. The first thing I thought of, in clearly different outcomes, was like when RG3 and Kirk Cousins got drafted in the same year. And it's like, you think you have your quarterback and then you bring in another quarterback. One thought they were the goalie, and then you have another goalie draft. So, like, there's that natural feeling to be competitive, right? And that feeling of, like, this guy, I don't want him taking my job. But what I found amazing was they seem to become friends very, very quickly, which isn't something that always – that happens in this type. Just, listen, in professional sports, college sports, when it's some sort of competition, it doesn't always end up that way.
Yeah, and I thought their answer about that was interesting because you're right. These are the guys that they work closely with, but they're still competing against each other. Drafted in the same year, and Kolzig even said he did a double take.
Yeah.
Once he found out they were drafting Byron, he's
like, you just drafted your guy.
That's your goalie. I'm right here. So definitely funny to listen to how that relationship developed. But, yeah, clearly they're still best friends to this day.
Yeah, I listen, it was – it's funny watching that fight too, because you go back and really it's more of them like undressing each other. Like that's really what it is. They were, it was the dance. Then they kind of undressed each other and they're laughing, and that's really where it went. But you go from like really fighting other people to then that, it's just, yeah. And look, some interesting stuff too about just the current situation in net for the Capitals, which is, it's obviously not an apples to apples because you've got a veteran and you've got a young goalie in there, but there's a lot to really, I think, pull in from that too, in terms of what their relationship can certainly be.
Yeah. And a good perspective from Kolzig as well, considering that he's still within the organization. So definitely good to hear his perspective on that.
Yeah, for sure. If you haven't subscribed to the Caps Talk podcast, make sure you do. Give us a follow on Twitter and whatever other social we're on. At some point, I hope we're talking about an NHL season. We will. It's just going to drag on for a while. But the good thing is they keep booking us guests like this. We'll be fine. So that's the goal. We'll leave that up to the, you know, the producers and the important people in this. And JJ and I will just sit back and ask them questions and enjoy the story. So until next time, we'll talk to you. And if it's closing in, if you haven't had it already or listen to this after, happy Thanksgiving.